You know, I have found in my travels that all the best things in life happen after 2 a.m. Because after 2 a.m. is when things get, audience, say it with me, legendary.
News, traffic, sports, weather. News, traffic, sports, weather. News, traffic, sports, weather. News, traffic, sports, weather. The bell tolls. It's
noon in o'clock.
I hear voices in my head. They talk to me.
You're stealing my pot pie.
Bernard, did you rip up the store today?
Oh, we got the pot pies.
No, Mama, I was a good employee today.
Well, son, I said, son, let me get myself a daiquiri over here. Run down, pick me up a moon pie and an RC Cola. I'm going to meet you down by Kirk. We'll do the wash.
You could say I'm a little bit crazy.
That is the most sinister call laugh that we've ever had on this program, Cody. You need to isolate that laugh.
Noon in o'clock.
I just had a bowl of bourbon and some crackers, and they ain't laying right there.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight. Oh. Yeah, it's the big show. Come on, crank it up and turn on all the lights, oh. Well,
oh my goodness, it's Friday morning. Brian Noonan in for Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN, high above Michigan Avenue in our 7th floor studios, and ready for my final night. I can't believe how fast this week has gone. This has been a lovely time sitting in for Nick. He'll be back with you again on Monday morning, but I have had a ball with Dan and Esmeralda and Vic and you. So we're glad you're here. Big show planned for tonight. And as always, we love it when you get involved. 312-981-7200. That's the phone and the text. That's how you get a hold of us. But when you do, you'll be talking to Dan Shagrew. He is the executive producer. He is the gatekeeper. He is the Zool to my Bill Murray. I don't know who the other guy was. Who's the gatekeeper? Are you the gatekeeper? You are the gatekeeper, but is Zool the... Boy, I should have thought that one out.
I thought you were going to go Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, but I'm not Sigourney Weaver, even though I will levitate and my head will spin and I'll, you know, look demonic. But that's later. That's at 5:30 when I'm out of here. Right now, I'm going to stay angelic. But anyway, you'll talk to Dan. Be nice to him. You get to me. That's how it works. That's always been how it works. That's ad infinitum. That will be how it works. So take care of that. You can also stay in touch via social media, Facebook and Twitter. It's Brian Noonan Show. So do that. And, man, Michael Osaki is going to be here, our friend from Baseball in the Attic. If you have some sports memorabilia laying about the house and you're thinking, you know what, I'm going to cash this in and try to get me some Cubs tickets. Well, maybe what you have will get you enough for Cubs tickets. Maybe it'll just get you more depressed because you can't get Cubs tickets. But either way, Michael will be here in a few minutes. So if you have a piece of memorabilia, get your calls in now, and he'll tell you what he thinks they might be worth. All right, that's cool. And then, because it is my final day filling in for Nick while he's on his vacation, we are going to bring back the Overnight Arcade. Yes, my tried and true weekend overnight fun fest. The Overnight Arcade will be back at 3 o'clock. We will be playing What's That Song 70s Edition, because it all ties in with Fly Jams Friday. That's why we went with What's That Song. And you may say to yourself, Esmeralda, that sounds curiously like an old game show where people would try to name a tune. Well, legally, I can't call it that, so that's why it's What's That Song. See how that works?
Very smart.
Well, no, I'm just... I don't like legal getting involved in my business. When lawyers get up all in my business, I don't like it.
You've learned a lot from Karen Conti being on your show these
sure,
years.
Sure. Listen, I am probably one of the few hosts here that has an attorney on retainer and speed dial. So I am constantly covering my rear end against possible lawsuits. There is nothing that gets past me. Everything gets past me. Who are we kidding? So we're going to do that. Then we've got all Nick's regular Friday features. We've got You Big Dummy, Spies Not Out of Context, and then Fly Jam. So all of that. Plus, who knows what else we'll jam in, you know. Probably some discussion of my hat game again, because that seems to be a theme all week.
It's just so strong.
Well, listen. I don't want to brag any more than I have. We missed you last night, Esmeralda. Where everything go okay with your whatever it was you were doing when you were not here?
It did.
Whatever it is you do when you don't come to work?
Yes.
All right. Well, we're glad you're back. Vic, always good to see you.
Good to see you, sir. And good to work with you all week, Brian. It really was. Pleasure.
Thank you. I appreciate that. The feeling is more than mutual. You guys are a fun group, and you know that. I enjoy coming in here when Nick's not here. I did curse you a little bit tonight, though, Vic, because as I was taking all the hanging baskets into the garage, I thought, ooh, that Vic Vaughn and his frost advisory. And I know it's not your personal frost advisory, but I tend to shoot the messenger. That's just how I roll. I don't wait to find the source.
And I pass those on to Tim McGill and Tom Skilling for you, sir.
Well, listen, Skilling knows I respect him, but when I have to do extra manual labor around the house, I'm never happy. So I came home, and some of them were already in the garage. My wife had pulled a couple, and I said, what's going on? She goes, there's supposed to be a frost warning tonight. We got to get the flowers in. I was like, oh, boy. So we have a couple of, you know, the big, like apple bushel baskets filled with mums out front. So those, I said, oh, should we bring those in? Yes, but I can't carry them. I was going to carry them anyway, but I wanted to see if she'd man up.
Yeah, it's time to hunker down for the cold weather, I think.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because I don't know what we're, you know, we're going to throw the flowers, their fate to the gods when we leave for Spain. So unless somebody wants to come by my house and bring the flowers in and out every day, Esmeralda, what do you do during the day?
No, that's okay.
That's not your thing?
I'm very busy.
I'm sure you are.
Doing other things.
I understand. Posting pictures of food and skyline and all that stuff. And I like all those pictures that you post.
It takes me a very long time to post one picture. So
sure.
Well, I'm booked.
I understand. I'd make it worth your while if that changes your mind at all.
No.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Listen, I'm just trying to... at some point, the flowers, you know, flowers have bloomed in nature without human interaction for a long time.
You know, they led a good 4 months.
They did. Well, some of them have been going for, you know, May. Yeah, 6 months almost. So if they peter out next week, oh, well. That's the way it
goes.
You'll
get new ones.
Yeah, next spring. It's time. Listen, the winter comes, everything dies anyway. So plus I got to come home and then put out the Halloween decorations because I didn't want to do that before we left. You know, and leave the house unattended with crazy decorations for a week or 4 days or 5 days, however long I'm going to be gone. I like to keep people guessing. So, yeah, there's a lot going on. All right. Listen, this is a big day because we've got a Tom Brady rookie card. I'll talk to Michael about sold for big money. We're going to talk to him about some Cubs stuff, so that's going to be good. And then we wrap up the week, Dan. I can't believe it. And I know I've said this before, but it seems to have gone very fast. Is it just me? Have I been delirious?
No, it has been a very fast week.
You know what? I don't know. And I used to say this a lot when it was a little easier this week because I did the whole week for Nick. But when you do like 1 or 2 days, it really screws you up. So sure. I don't know. How long, Esmeralda, did it take you once you started this shift to get used to it?
Well, I was already kind of used to it because I used to bartend.
Oh, okay.
And essentially, you know, how I put it is the bar closes at 2, you clean up, and then you go to the 4 a.m.
Right.
And then you kind of stay a little longer because you know people there.
Sure.
And then you go to the McDonald's and get breakfast. And by that time, it's 5 a.m. So
yeah, there you go. So, and I will say the dog has been very cooperative. I don't know if she sensed that I was trying to day sleep a little bit. Plus, I blacked out my room. I'm like Elvis now. I hung big blankets over the windows. It's scary in there. Pitch black. But it worked out. So
Don't dogs just sleep all day?
My dog is psychotic.
Okay.
She's we lost one not too long ago. So this one now is still going through an adjustment period of being by herself. And so I think she sleeps a lot when we're not there. But when somebody's there, she tends to be a little more active.
Okay.
Looking out the window, barking, running around, slamming her head into my bedroom door, trying to get my attention.
All right, then.
Yeah. Well, because I made the mistake. Well, not the mistake. I got up during my little sleep and went to the bathroom, came back, and I didn't shut the door all the way. So I woke up. The door was wide open, and she was just sitting down by the end of the bed just looking at me. Like, hey, man, what are you doing home during the day? Sleeping. You're not supposed to be sleeping. Get up. Get me a treat. Then she whines.
My cat goes to the bedroom, like, are you going to bed yet? Like, for daytime, she loves it.
Oh, really?
She sleeps all day with
me. Does she sleep with you?
Yeah.
This dog used to get into bed with us, And now, I don't know. I think she blames me for the other dog not being around anymore. I'm putting a whole big guilt trip on myself. I don't know what it is. But she saw, you know, unfortunately we had to take him, you know, and she watched me take him out of the house and then come back without him. So I think in her doggy brain, she's putting some blame on me. But what are you going to do? That's the way it goes. There's an uplifting story for 2:15 on a Friday morning, isn't it? Yeah, that's how we do it. We get everybody all depressed. And then we bounce back with some great sports memorabilia appraisals with Michael Osaki, which we will do next. So get your calls in, 312-981-7200. We're doing it on WGN. It's Brian Noonan in for Nick on 720 WGN. Always a pleasure to see this guy. Michael Osaki is here. He is a licensed sports memorabilia appraiser. He is the owner of baseballintheattic.com. And you can follow him on Twitter at baseballattic. And it's always good to see you, Michael. How are you?
Brian, it is great to be here.
So this is a big time of year, a lot of sports going on. Of course, we have October baseball in Chicago, which is always something new and exciting. It doesn't happen very often. Cubs doing very well. And now I'm sure everybody is going into their attics and their garages and boxes and going, oh, I have this old Cubs piece of memorabilia. There was a really nice piece about you on DNA Chicago. And you talked about these five Cubs collectibles. Now, are these your personal collectibles,
no,
or these are the most valuable that you've seen?
The most valuable Cubs collectibles out there. I do not own the Cubs collectibles talked about in the
okay.
article. Yeah.
You're just saying that so nobody breaks into your house. I don't blame you. I would say so, too. No, absolutely not. So tell us, with the Cubs in the League Championship Series, what are some of these valuable collectibles?
Yeah, so one of the things I mentioned is Ernie Banks, over the course of his career, he hit over 500 home runs.
Right.
And there's many people that actually have hit over 500 home runs, and that's a big club to be in, right, the 500
sure.
home run club. And so what I talked about for the DNA article is his last home run, the last home run ball that he ever hit. I don't know where that baseball is. I don't know if it's in someone's private collection, if it was just lost over time, if it was thrown out or whatnot. But I think that is a six-figure ball. So if somebody if somebody has that ball, and secondarily, if we can prove that it actually is the ball.
Well, that's the key, right? Because I could say, yeah, I've got it. And I have some guy who, you know, practiced Ernie Banks' signature, or I have a literal Ernie Banks autograph ball. But you don't know, how are you going to figure out that that's the ball?
Yeah, so it's very tough to really authenticate something from way back when. Today, things are different. So, for example, if a player today was approaching his 500th home run or 3,000th hit, Major League Baseball would they have special baseballs that are marked, okay, and so the ball would actually be retrieved and brought back
right.
to the club. But back then, decades ago, that's not how it was. Sometimes, though, what would happen is a fan would catch a ball, and for whatever reason, the Chicago Tribune or whatever newspaper would be there, and they would document it. They would show the fan smiling with the ball in his or her hand. So that would be one way to document that. But it is very, very difficult to really authenticate and really collaborate the story of something from several decades past.
And that's with any piece of memorabilia, not just this ball in particular. That's anything from way back where
yeah.
you go, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Brian, back in the day, people weren't really collecting things as for investment purposes.
Right.
They were collecting because they had something because they just had it. But the market has completely changed now, and especially now in October with the Cubs in the World Series. I'm getting a lot of calls from
not
people.
Not yet. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I was – yeah.
Sorry. Right. Wishful thinking,
yeah.
I know. But we got to bring everything back. Rein it in.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of people are interested – in buying vintage Cubs collectibles, but B, as you alluded to at the top, people are actually going to their attics or garages or barns and looking to see, oh, yeah, my grandpa had some Cubs collectibles.
Yeah.
Where is that stuff?
All right, so we've got the Ernie Banks ball. Anything from, like, the 1908 World Series, any of that kind of stuff, is it still around? And if it is, what would
yeah.
it be worth?
So it's really not around, no. But sure, if you can find, you know, a game-used jersey from 1908, that would be something special.
Now, you mentioned in the article for DNA Info, a World Series program. Is that, does that exist? Have you seen one of these, or is this one of those we, it might be out there and this is what it would be worth?
They do exist, yes. I've seen several examples. They do exist from both 1908, which is when the Cubs last won the World Series, but also the 45 World Series where they lost to the Tigers.
Right. And what are the, what's something like that worth?
It ranges in condition, anywhere from $1,000 to $10,000,
$15,000. Wow. All right. And I saw you're holding, in one of the pictures, you're holding some pennants. And I still love pennants from, if you go to the circus or the, whatever.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty cool. But you're holding a couple vintage ones from the 45 World Series.
Yeah. I was holding three of them. And each one is a little bit different. The one that's the most valuable actually has... in print, the names of all the players. So it has Charlie Grimm, who was the manager, yeah. Phil Cavaretta, Stan Hack, some of the better ball players on the team. So, and that pennant is in pristine condition.
Yeah, they look brand new just in this picture.
I mean, luckily there's no pinholes on them or anything like that, but that one alone is probably worth $1,500 to $2,000.
Wow, not bad. And somebody probably paid 35 cents for it back in the day.
Yeah.
Michael Osaki is here. BaseballInTheAttic.com is the website. Let's start with one before we have to go to the news. What do you think, Michael?
Yeah, let's do it.
You got your headphones on. We'll say hi to Jim. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're well. What do you got?
I have a baseball from 1982. The very first professional game ever played in the Korean Professional League. And it's signed by Hank Aaron, Ernie Banks, and Billy Williams.
Pretty powerful threesome.
They brought a AAA. Well, they brought the AAA Atlanta Braves team over there and played the very first seven games against the Korean team. And I have that ball still today. I was wondering what something like that would be worth.
That's a pretty cool and unique item. What I really like about it is it's the Korean League, because if you think about those three Hall of Famers, Billy Williams, he's still alive today,
right.
Signing every day.
Mm-hmm.
Hank Aaron, that's how he, his full-time job, is signing.
Yeah.
Ernie Banks, obviously he passed away January of last year. He signed a lot as well. So even though those are three Hall of Famers, individually, those signatures aren't worth a ton of money. But being that it's signed on that specific baseball, I would still say it's worth about $250.
Okay, cool.
Not
the other
bad,
thing
Jim.
I have from Ernie himself, at the time they put out a book called Cubs History Through 1982, and it's got a personal inscription from Ernie to me. Is that worth anything?
So when we talk about inscriptions to somebody, that always decreases the value, because if you think about it, if you're trying to sell something to me and my name is Michael and your name is Brian,
right?
Right. Absolutely.
I'm not going to pay a lot of money for it. Additionally, your item is a paper item. It's not like it's a jersey or bat or baseball, which are premium items. So, a paper item like that, somewhere less than $50.
But it's a good keepsake for you, Jim. Yeah, that's
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. 312-981-7200. Do you have a piece of memorabilia around the house? Some sport, maybe a jersey, a bat, something cool? Give us a call. Michael will tell you if it's worth something or just something good to have as a memory. Because that's a lot of people think something that they hold dear is going to be worth money. Sometimes the memories and stuff are worth more than you could get for dollar-wise, correct?
Oh, exactly. I hear some incredible stories of how something was passed down through a generation.
Yeah.
And the story almost like brings me to tears. So the story is priceless. The item may not be valuable, but sometimes I'll tell these people, wow, this item should never be sold. This should be kept in the family forever.
And tell that story and keep it going.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, more with Michael on the other side of the news. 312-981-7200. It's WGN. Brian Noonan in for Nick D on 720 WGN. Yes, it's baseball in October. There's football. Sports are year-round, and you may have some piece of sports memorabilia laying about your place and you think, this could be worth some dough. Well, a man who knows if it is or not, Michael Osaki, he is the owner of baseballintheattic.com. He is a licensed and certified sports memorabilia appraiser, and he is here for us. But you're also going to be out and about amongst the people on Sunday doing appraisals. Where are you going to be?
Yeah, I'll be Sunday, October 16th, so this Sunday, in Uptown at Vintage Garage Chicago. It's on Broadway Street from noon to 4 p.m. I'll be doing free appraisals. So sports memorabilia, all sports, cards, autographs, programs, whatever you have, bring it in, and I'll give you a free appraisal.
Very cool. That's at 5051 North Broadway, and you can go to VintageGarageChicago.com to get all the details. Are you ready to get back to it? People are waiting. We'll do a couple texts real quick. I have a baseball signed by all of the 2003 Cubs players and coaches. Is it worth anything?
No, not really. I mean, of course, there is a little value, but there's just no demand for that.
Okay. And I have a pocket schedule of the last season of Comiskey Park signed by Carlton Fisk. That's Danny.
$20.
Really? $20. There you go, Danny. You ever find yourself short of 20? That might work. All right. You can always call 312-981-7200. You can always text. It's the same number. Either way, you'll get through to us. Let's go to the phone. Scott has been hanging on. Hi, Scott.
Hi.
So what do you got?
Yeah, Andre Dawson's last hit ever as a Cub. It was from the 1992 final day of the season. He hit a home run, and I caught it. And then I got it autographed a couple of years later while he was still on the Florida Marlins.
That's pretty cool. You know, it's funny. I was talking a few minutes about Ernie Banks, and if someone has his last home run, that would be quite something. Andre Dawson, still, great Cub player. A little bit different than Ernie Banks, but I still think it's probably worth about $500.
Really?
Yeah, his last home run.
Last home run as a Cub. Yeah. Now, how do we verify that? Not to call your veracity into question, Scott.
Providence, because I videotaped the game that day, so there's video of me holding the ball right after I caught it.
Is that good, Michael?
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
So that would help. So about $500.
Yeah.
It's not bad, Scott. What do you think?
I'm unemployed. I need the money.
All right. Well, get a hold of Michael at baseballintheattic.com, and maybe all of a sudden $500 could be coming your way. Thanks for the call. People can call you too, can't they, Michael?
They sure can. And I'll be available after this, after I'm through here tonight, 312-379-9090, 312-379-9090 by phone or text. And, of course, my website is baseballintheattic.com. If you click on the Contact Me tab, you'll fill out a little quick form, and I'll get back to you quickly.
Very nice. So, all right, let's take Scott for example. You said, all right, that ball might be worth about $500. To who? How? Once you appraise it, and somebody now has a baseball that you say is worth $500, then what happens? So, where do you sell? Who's going to give you the $500? That's the thing.
Yeah. So there are people like I get emails and calls every day from people all across the country and even sometimes the world will say, Michael, I'm looking for a specific thing. I'm looking for this or that. And what I'll do is in my database, I have all these people and what they're looking for. And so, for example, someone's looking for a special Andre Dawson item, a unique Andre Dawson, because they're the world's biggest Andre Dawson fan.
Okay.
Then this, what Scott had, would really
would pop up.
It would complete that person's collection. Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Anthony's been hanging on. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going well. What do you got?
Excellent. So I got an authentic, majestic, authentic collection. Zambrano, away jersey signed by Dusty Baker. I'm wondering how much, or should I just light the thing on fire?
So it's Zambrano jersey signed by Dusty Baker.
Yes.
Dusty Baker. Oh, my God. I just it was funny. So I was just on Twitter a few minutes ago, and someone said that Dusty Baker has now lost 9 straight games with a chance to clinch a playoff round. That's the longest streak in Major League Baseball history. God, is he bad in the playoffs. Okay.
Not good.
Not good. So did you burn it?
Not yet, but I'm waiting for the expert opinion, actually.
So I would say don't burn it. Maybe you can donate it to, like, a children's hospital.
Or Goodwill.
I think children's hospital is good. People will enjoy it. But value, nobody is actively looking to buy something like that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry,
you know,
Anthony.
It taught me a valuable lesson, though. Just go with the classics.
There you go.
It's true.
Go with the classics.
It's true. And that's, you know, my expertise is vintage, 1870 to 1970. And one of the reasons I like it is because it's not going to come out tomorrow that, you know, Hank Aaron used steroids or
right.
William, you know, like all these guys. You know, in 1998, it was very different. McGuire and Sosa. And then, of course, we all know what happened afterwards.
Right.
And so it's so true.
All right. Well, Anthony, yeah, sorry about that, but thanks for the call.
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
In general, Michael, if it's a jersey with one player's name and it's signed by somebody else, does that negate everything?
A lot of times, yes.
So if I have like a Walter Payton jersey signed by Dan Hampton.
Oh, no.
That's
horrible.
It means nothing.
It's horrible. But it's funny. It's a great point you bring up. But a lot of people think that quantity is better. But no, it's not the case. In that example, right. You want just Walter Payton. It's horrible to have Walter Payton and somebody else.
Yeah.
Walter Payton, you know, was one of the greatest running backs ever. Hall of Famer, unfortunately, died really young. But it's a great autograph, very valuable. You put Dan Hampton on there, the value decreases immensely.
So what about these – a lot of people – and when you've been on with me before, you hear this, whether it's a baseball, football, basketball, where somebody will say, I have the entire team. When does an entire team's autograph become a valuable thing? Does it have to be after a championship? Could it just be a legendary team? When are more better?
Usually, yeah, after a championship. Somebody wins the World Series or NBA championship, Stanley Cup.
Okay.
Things like that. People are looking for a team-signed item. So, you know, when the Blackhawks won, people were looking for team sign.
Right.
White Sox in 2005, a team signed baseball was $1,000, $1,200.
Wow. And it, again, then, does it have to be everybody? If you're missing one or two, is that?
It should. So when we're talking about a team signed baseball item, like a baseball,
yeah,
it should have at least 18 signatures. That's what we consider to be team signed.
Okay.
If you have 10 or 12 signatures, that's not really a team signed item. But you do want all of the key signatures on there.
Okay.
So, for example, in 05, let's say you have, you know, Canerico and you have all the pitchers, but maybe you're missing Ozzie Guillen, who's the manager. He was important.
Yeah.
You know, and in those 18 signatures, you really do want to have those key guys on there.
Okay. Good morning from the 847. I have three autographed jerseys framed in shadow boxes. Jeremy Roenick from the Coyotes, Urlacher, and Sammy Sosa. They've all been authenticated.
Okay. So the Sammy Sosa, not much. Maybe $50.
Wow.
Yeah.
For a jersey, for an autographed jersey, $50. Because Sammy's still got the taint to him, right?
Still got the taint.
All right.
And no one's looking for a Sammy Sosa jersey.
Except Sammy.
Except, I don't even know if he's looking for it. He's probably got a bunch in his house.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Jeremy Roenick, $100. And what was the third one?
Urlacher.
Oh, Brian Urlacher. That's probably $225, $250.
Okay. So Urlacher's still pulling big numbers.
He is.
That's weird. Somebody has a wrinkled peanut from the 68 Cubs. That's probably not worth much.
A wrinkled peanut from the 68 Cubs.
Are goofy. I have,
I think he said pennant.
Oh, it's pennant. Yeah, pennant. I thought it said peanut. I'm still getting used to these new glasses. I have a wrinkled pennant from the 68 Cubs. He's got a pennant, Michael, not a peanut. Might have some peanuts.
So,
I don't know what his dietary restrictions might be.
So his wrinkled...
Thank you, Dad.
So his wrinkled pennant, because the condition is not good, it's wrinkled.
Right.
This pennant is worth only a couple peanuts, probably about $15, $20.
Oh, man.
So peanuts for that pennant.
All right. What if they just have, like, the little thumbtack holes?
No, that's not good either.
Not good either?
No.
All right. So it's got to be you buy them and then you just lay them somewhere.
Exactly.
All right. Michael Osecki is here. BaseballInTheAttic.com is his website. You can call him at 312-379-9090. And on Sunday, he will be at the Chicago Antique Garage. What is it? Yes. Chicago Vintage Garage Chicago at 5051 North Broadway from noon until 4, doing free appraisals of your sports memorabilia. But if you have a piece and you want to know right now, 312-981-7200. That's how you get a hold of us. More with Michael on the other side, 720 WGN. Jazzy. Michael Osaki is here. BaseballInTheAttic.com is where you can go to get your sports memorabilia appraised by Michael, or you can call here, 312-981-7200, or you can go to Vintage Garage Chicago on Sunday from noon until 4, and Michael will be appraising things there. Not a lot of time left, so let's get right to it, Michael. Chris is on the phone. Hi, Chris. You're on WGN.
Hey, Brian. How are you? First time, long time.
Oh, thanks. What do you got?
I got a autographed with the authenticity of Bill Cowher mini Steeler helmet.
Oh, yeah. Bill Cowher, of course, was the great coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now he's an analyst, I think, for CBS.
Correct.
Signed mini helmet, somewhere between $50 and $75.
Nice.
There you go, Chris.
I had an autographed Nike ball by Stacey King, but I heard what you said earlier about when it's addressed to you, it's a lot less valuable.
It is, and now, if it was Michael Jordan, you got something. But being Stacey King, you know.
The great Stacey King.
The great Stacey King. But that's better in your house, Chris, so you can gaze at it longingly.
Absolutely, as I do now.
There you go. Thanks for the call, Chris. I have an autographed ball. This is from the 209. An autographed ball with the entire 1969 Cubs team. Everyone, Banks, Santo, Williams, etc. I know it's real, but how can I get it authenticated and how much would it be worth?
You know, several years ago, I actually was at a private signing in Chicago where all those guys signed. This was maybe, gosh, I don't even know, 8, 9, 10 years ago.
Oh, man.
It was a fun day, spending the time with all those guys. So, two questions there. One, how much is it worth?
Yeah.
Probably right around $500-$600.
Okay.
It's potentially more, depending upon condition. How would you get authenticated? There are a couple different options. I don't know what ball it's on, if it's like an official National League ball or not. But if you send me an email, michael@baseballintheattic.com, I'll just probably email you two or three options, and then you can contact those third parties. I'm guessing to have it looked at and authenticated is probably about $75-$80.
Okay, but there are ways to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool. From the 815, I have a Life magazine cover, just the cover, of Mickey Mantle signed. What's the value?
Yeah, so Mickey Mantle is on my top 10 list of frequently forged signatures. So Mickey Mantle, Ted Williams, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Muhammad Ali. These are all greats, right? And they were always in the public eye. They did well playing their respected sport. And so people like to forge their signatures. If this is a real authentic Mickey Mantle signature, you're looking at about $100.
Okay. So Mickey Mantle's signature, because he's a legend, still, if you can prove it's real, still holds its value.
Yeah.
All right. Let's say hi to Tom. He's been hanging on. Hi, Tom. You're on WGN.
Yeah. Hi, Brian. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have Greg Maddox, his autograph from the 80s when he was with the Cubs. The game went into extra innings, and he was late to Papa Joe's out in Oak Lawn. And he wasn't very happy, you know, because I guess the game was like three hours over. You know, it was a long over extra innings. So anyways, I was wondering what it was worth.
Well, the story is priceless. Yeah. I'm going to tell you that right now, Tom. Tom, the story is priceless.
You know, I got to
tell
you.
It was pretty good, yeah.
You know, in a couple of minutes, I'm going to be out of a job because Brian took the words out of my mouth.
Oh, sorry, Michael.
That story is – I was thinking the same thing. That story is priceless. But
yeah, we drank, not to interrupt you, but we drank so much waiting for him, you know, to come to the restaurant at Papa Joe's out there. Yeah. it was worth the wait, though.
I think it's the baseball. It's worth about $30-$35.
Okay. I appreciate it, Mike. Thanks.
All right. Take care, Tom. Yeah, Papa Joe's a good place out on LaGrange Road if you've never been there. Whether you're waiting for Greg Maddox or not, it's still a good place. Okay. Here's a little vague, and they admit this, from the 630. What about a team-signed football from a college bowl game with the score from the 70s? Sorry, not more specific. Found it in a demolition 15 years ago. Thought it was cool.
Wow. I have just so many questions. Yeah. You know, like what team? You know what it's kind of like? Sometimes people will call me and they'll say, Michael, I have this really old baseball card. How much is it worth? And I said,
who's it of?
Yeah. So it's a similar thing. You know, who's on there? You know, what team?
Yeah. We got to know what team, what bowl game,
yeah.
What year.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
If it's from some eighth tier bowl, You know?
Yeah, it's nothing.
Who cares? Who cares about that? Hey, did you see this Tom Brady card today? The rookie card sold for over $24,000 on eBay.
It's
crazy, right?
It's a small fortune, yeah. Now, what it's interesting there, and the reason why that card sold for so much money, there are only just a couple, maybe two or three tops. When I say tops, not the brand
not
tops,
the brand.
But two or three of these cards in the world that have graded that high, right? Almost
wow.
Essentially a perfect 10. And so because of that, and of course everyone knows the Patriots and Tom Brady, and he's obviously going to be a Hall of Famer.
Right.
That modern cards in high grade have been going through the roof in the past couple months. So $24,000.
Wow.
I don't know who bought it, obviously. I don't know if they're going to buy it as an investment or not. But yeah, that's what these cards have been going for, extremely high dollars.
And what drives the price up like that?
It's scarcity. People are trying to buy the best of the best, and okay. They know if they have a perfect condition in a 10, the odds of somebody finding another card in that condition to be graded by a third-party 10 are very slim. And so they're saying, well, I want the best of the best, and here it is. And there may only be one or two other cards in the world that are graded a perfect 10, and I own one of them.
Wow. And what's the best way if you do – I mean, probably if you're buying this card, it comes already – it's sealed up, right? They're not just putting a card in an envelope and tossing it to you. But what's the best way for people – even if it's something that is probably never going to make them a ton of money, but it means something to them, what's the best way to preserve stuff?
The best way, when it comes to cards, they have these card savers, essentially. It's a little bit harder than the plastic, but not as hard as, you know, some of the hard cases. Putting cards in there are pretty secure.
Okay.
When it comes to autographs, make sure you keep them out of sunlight and also keep them in a cool, dry climate.
Okay.
Pendants. You don't want them to be wrinkled, as that one caller
right.
had.
The wrinkled peanut. Can't have that.
Can't have a wrinkled peanut. We don't like that at all.
No.
So they actually have pennant holders. You could stick the pennant in a essentially like a little piece of.
Oh, that's what you in the picture in
yes.
DNA info. That's
yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Right. Programs are fine. You know, in a shoebox. Again, a cool, dry climate for them as well.
Okay. They said, I texted you earlier and forgot to ask the one thing I wanted to, a Michael Jordan autographed number 45 jersey. That's from Mike.
Oh, the baseball.
Baseball jersey.
The baseball jersey, yeah, when he was at the Birmingham Barons.
Yes.
The baseball jerseys. The thing is, Michael Jordan's signature is quite valuable today.
Does he not sign a lot? Is that why? I mean, obviously Michael Jordan's still an icon, so that's,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you know, he doesn't because he doesn't need the money.
I think
Forbes said his estimate wealth is $1 billion.
So he doesn't need to sit at a card table at a convention.
And he hasn't in a very
yeah.
long time. Back when he was playing, he was under contract through Upper Deck.
Okay.
And so, yeah, he would sign for several years through Upper Deck. But an Michael Jordan signed jersey, you're looking at a minimum of $500.
Wow. That's pretty good. Now, for jerseys, if you get something like that, should you have it framed?
Framing costs a lot of money. It depends what you want to do with it. If you're going to
put... Oh, not baseball, basketball, when he first came back to basketball.
Okay. So that's going to be a little bit more than $500. You're probably talking $750 to $800.
For the signed 45 basketball jersey.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, his signature is very valuable, and especially on a jersey. There is a lot of demand today still for Michael Jordan signed jerseys.
And I'm sorry I interrupted you, but that just popped up, so we wanted to clarify. So you're
yeah.
talking about framing jerseys.
Yes, so framing jerseys. So if you want to put it up in a man cave and show it off to your friends and family, yeah, I think you should frame it for sure.
Okay.
But if it's like for an investment purpose, and maybe in a couple of years you're going to sell it, you can just have it neatly folded up in a closet or a top shelf in your closet somewhere out of sunlight, and that should be fine.
What about a program from the 1968 Rose Bowl game with O.J. Simpson?
Ooh, O.J. Simpson. You know, I think he's in jail.
He is in jail.
There isn't really any demand for anything O.J. Simpson. That's kind of
Yeah.
Been there, done that. That was over 20 years ago. Okay. So there's just no value there.
Nothing for OJ. Somebody says, I have a Billy Williams signed jersey. Cindy has a Billy Williams signed jersey.
Billy Williams, he signs a lot. You're looking at $125.
Okay. And that's, I mean, even you know, down the road when he passes away, since if somebody signed a ton while they're alive, when they're dead, does it boost that or does it boost the value or does it stay kind of the same because there's so much out there?
So when Bob Feller passed away, Bob Feller, he was the great Cleveland pitcher for a long time. Feller told me, because I got to know Feller, that over the course of his lifetime, he's signed several millions autographs, which I Jeez. Believe him. He would sign all the time. So when he passed away, to your question, Brian, the value of his signature actually decreased because there wasn't any more demand coming onto the market. People already had a Bob Feller.
Right.
And so it actually went down. Billy Williams, he signed so much too. I believe, you know, when he passes, his signature is not going to – the value is not going to go up.
All right. Michael, it is always good to talk to you. Always very interesting. Tell people how they can get a hold of you.
Yep. I can be reached right now at 312-379-9090. Again, 312-379-9090. Or Michael at baseballintheattic.com. My website is baseballintheattic.com. And if you click on contact me, I'll contact you through there. Twitter, you said, at baseballattic. Right. And I'm also on Facebook. I just got a Facebook page
nice.
3 weeks ago, so follow me on Facebook.
And don't forget Sunday at Vintage Garage Chicago, 5051 North Broadway from noon until 4. Always a pleasure, Michael. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, let's do this, and it's news time on WGN.
Shall we play a game?
It's a new game, only this time the game is real. Can you handle it?
Everybody play the game.
Time to play the game.
All right, that is the theme for America's favorite overnight radio quiz show. It's the Overnight Arcade here on WGN. After a long hiatus, the arcade is back open. I am your quizmaster, Brian Noonan. With me tonight, very excited to have keeping score, Esmeralda Leon. She's going to do her best to keep score, and if she doesn't, well, that's all right, too. Look, oh, don't panic, Esmeralda. It's okay. You're going to be fantastic. And okay. Dan has prizes. We've got all kind of things. If you didn't get through to play along with us on the air, then make sure you play along at home, because during the Overnight Arcade, at-home wagering not only encouraged but expected. Let's meet our players, shall we? Of course we shall. First, we'll say hi to Terry. Hi, Terry.
Hi, how are you?
I am well. What do you do, Terry?
I'm a police officer.
Oh, really? Are you on duty right now?
No, I just left, and I am driving home.
Very nice. How was your shift tonight? Hopefully not too much action?
Long.
We'll leave it at that, Terry. Do you know 70s music?
I'll do my best.
All right. You will be playing against Jill. She is in Milwaukee. Hi, Jill. Welcome to the game.
Hi. So nice to hear you on the radio this week.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And Jill, remind us what you do.
I'm a medical laboratory technician.
A medical laboratory technician. Wow.
So we draw your blood, and which people love, and we test it for disease. And,
All right. Are you doing that tonight? Are you working tonight? Or are you?
No, I'm at home.
Just chilling. What do you? How do you do on 70s music?
I think I should be pretty good. I'm 52, so that should be right in my sweet spot there.
Let's hope. Music. All right, well, here's how it's going to work, Terry and Jill. I'm going to play you 5 seconds from a popular 70s song. If you can name that song, well, guess what? You get a point. If not, oh, my goodness, you'll be sad, and your opponent will get a chance to steal and get 3 additional seconds of that song. Yeah. Now, first 1 to 5, or whoever is leading when time runs out, will be our winner. Terry, Jill, do you understand the rules? Are you ready to play the game?
Real quick question. Just call out my name. I say my name.
Well, no, I'll tell you. We'll take turns. So I'm gonna flip right now. We're gonna see who's gonna go first. So hang on. Terry is going to get the first song. So Terry, stand by. You're gonna get 5 seconds of this very popular song. Are you ready, Terry?
Yes.
All right. I have to see the buttons. Here we go. What's that song? Oh, where is it, Dan? All right, what's that song, Terry?
Is it Venus?
Is it Venus? Yes, it is. That's how we play the game. I haven't done the arcade in this studio in forever, so I have to remember where everything is. But yes, Terry, that's how we play the game. You are on the board. Fantastic. All right. That means we now move on to Jill. Jill, I ask you this question. Hold on. What's that song? What's that song?
American Woman.
American Woman. Yeah! Yes, very good. Now we have reached the end of round one in the most cumbersome game ever to be broadcast in America. Esmeralda, what is our score?
We are tied.
One to one. Terry, the police officer, and Jill, our medical lab tech, tied at one. We come back to Terry. Terry, here we go. Tell me, what's that song? What's that song, Terry?
Eyes of March. It's,
Oh, so close. So close. Oh, that time is up. That means, Jill, you're going to get a chance to steal. I will give you 3 more seconds of this song. What's that song? What's that song?
Vehicle?
Is it Vehicle? Jill with the steal. And we stay with Jill because once you steal, it's still your turn. So, Jill, let me ask you this. What's that song? What's that song?
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Awesome!
It is awesome! And that's the end of another round. Esmeralda, do we have a score?
Jill's killing it. 3. Wow. Terry, 1.
Jill is killing it. 3-1. But Terry, don't lose hope yet. It'll soon be time to lose hope. But now is not the time. Now is not the time to lose hope. If you don't get this one right and Jill steals it, it might be time to lose hope. But let's see. Are you ready, Terry?
Sure.
Are you focused?
I'm in.
All right. What's that song? What's that song?
The Rockin' Robin.
Is it Rockin' Robin? No, it is not Rockin' Robin. Not Rockin' Robin. All right. Jill, that means you get another chance to steal. Are you ready?
Yes.
You get 3 more seconds of this fine, fine song. What's that? Easy. What's that song, Jill?
ABC.
ABC. From the Jackson 5, ABC is absolutely correct. All right, Terry, now's the time to panic because it's Jill's turn again. And Jill, you know what this means. You have 4. If you get this one right, you will be our big winner. If not, you will give Terry a chance to steal and come back into the game.
All right, we'll give it a go.
Oh, I like your upbeat attitude. Terry seems a little less enthusiastic. He's sitting there stewing, I can tell.
Maybe he's too young or something.
Maybe. He's had a long shift, you know.
Yeah.
It could be the AM radio. Who knows? All right, Jill, enough of the chit-chat. Tell me, what's that song? What's that song?
Oh, man, it sounds so familiar.
It should. It's a big hit from the 70s.
Yesterday.
That is incorrect. It is incorrect. That means, Terry, you're still in the game because you get a chance to steal. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Tell me, what's that song? All right, what's that song, Terry?
Tomorrow Once Again.
Oh. No, ladies and gentlemen, that is, of course, Fire and Rain from James Taylor. Fire and Rain. Esmeralda, not familiar with that song either.
Baby James.
Sweet Baby James. But
just
that is
wasn't coming to me.
That's the end of the round. Where are we at, Esmeralda?
Jill has 4. Terry has 1.
All right, we're back to Terry. Terry, you ready? This could be the turning point for you, Terry.
I'm in. Let's hit this hard.
All right, here we go. What's that song? What's that song?
Oh, I'm so much better with artists. Oh.
Like paintings? Like Jackson Pollock? Oh, couple of seconds. Oh, and we come back to Jill, who has four. Jill, if you successfully steal this song, you will be the winner. If not, we just keep going, because I'm here till five. Are you ready, Terry? Ready, Jill? Here we go.
Yes, I am.
What's that song? What's that song?
Is it Wild World?
Is it Wild World?
Yes! 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 Wow.
It is, in fact, Wild World. Everybody very excited for that. Esmeralda, give us a final score so I can make it official.
Jill 5, Terry 1.
Jill 5, Terry 1. Congratulations, Jill, on the big win. Terry, well played. You know, let's go into the prize closet where Dan is sitting. I don't know why he's sitting in the closet. He should just come out and talk. But that's all right, Dan. What do we got? What do we have for Jill, our big winner?
Jill, for being our big winner, you win a $25 Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is the home of Chicago's best dip dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicago locations or order online at loumelnattis.com.
Wow. Did you say dip dish?
I probably did.
Dip dish. That's better. A lot of people eat deep dish. I don't like that. I like a dip dish. Listen, Jill gets some pizza, but I don't like to send anybody away, especially somebody who's putting their life on the line as a police officer helping us out. Do we have something for Terry? Terry something?
Let's give Terry a Lou Malnati's gift certificate as well.
Why not? I don't think that cheapens Jill's victory at all. So Jill gets some pizza, Terry gets some pizza, and you both get my undying admiration for playing our game.
Yes, and real quick, Terry, thank you for your service and doing what is a thankless job, and you be safe. Stay safe.
Jill, you want to hear a funny story?
Sure, why not? It's like a love connection. What's the funny story, Terry?
I was an MTASCP as you.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, we get the police in the ER all the time for accidents and,
Let's hope Terry stays safe and everybody else. Thank you. Thank you both for playing the game.
Thank you.
And we will, let's see, do we have time for another round? I want to do another round because the first one got a little clunky. 312-591-7000. 312-591-7000. You want to be caller 4 and caller 5 at 312-591-7000. And we will play another round of What's That Song 70s. You did very well keeping score that time, Esmeralda. No need
Thank
to panic.
You.
You are very welcome. Let's do this on WGN. Yes, it's time for round two of the Overnight Arcade here on WGN. This morning we are playing What's That Song 70s Edition. Let's not waste any time. Let's meet our players, shall we? First, we will say hi to Nick. Hi, Nick.
Hello, Brian.
And what do you do, Nick?
I'm in the witness protection program.
Very nice. So, Nick, obviously not your real name, but that's all right.
No, it is. It is my real name.
You're just not a very bright witness. Is that what you're telling us, Nick?
You tell me in about 10 minutes.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Nick feeling confident. I like that. Well, we'll see how good you do against Dan. He is playing against you. Hi, Dan. Welcome to the arcade.
Hi, Brian.
And what do you do, Dan?
Right now I'm retired, but I worked in the computer field for about 30 years.
The computer field. Very exciting. I needed some computer help today. Dan, you were nowhere to be found. I can't... Well, that's not really your fault. All right, gentlemen, here's how the game is played. I'm going to, when it's your turn, you will get 5 seconds from a very popular song from the 1970s. If you can name that song, well, guess what? You get a point. If not, your opponent will get a chance to steal. First 1 to 5 correct answers, or whoever is leading when time runs out will be our winner. Let me flip it up and see who will go first. Dan will go first. Gentlemen, do you understand the rules? You ready to play the game?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. So we will start with Dan. Dan, here's the ever-popular question. What's that song? What's that song, Dan?
Oh, pass.
Dan just passes. That's all. He just passes.
Maybe. Maybe I was busy when that was a popular song, I'm afraid.
So. Maybe you were building a hard drive or something. So you have passed. That means, Nick, you get to steal right out of the box. I'm going to give you 3 more seconds of this song just so you can feel like you got your rightful due. Here we go. What's that song? What's that song, Nick? Easy.
What's Maggie this? May by Rod Stewart.
Maggie May by Rod Stewart.
Good job. Keep up the good work.
That is exactly right. Way to start things off, Nick. And because you got that one right, and it is your turn, we stay with you. And I say to you, Nick, what's that song? What's that song?
Lean on Me.
Lean on Me.
That is correct.
That is correct. The great Bill Withers, Lean on Me. Esmeralda, this is probably pretty easy for you now. This
is working out well.
It is. What's the score?
Nick 2, Dan 0.
Nick taking a huge lead. His witness protection confidence paying off early in the game. I don't know how we can continue this, but we will because it's Dan's turn. Dan, you got to get on the board by telling me, what's that song? What's that song?
You know, Brian, this is a bad excuse, but my phone just isn't picking it up that well. I know that's a bad excuse.
That's a horrible excuse, Dan. I can't. My sympathy for that excuse is almost non-existent.
Well, I understand that. I'm not sure what that is.
Not hearing it at all, huh?
No. But go ahead.
I got to buzz you, Dan. And then, Nick, are you ready?
I'm ready.
You want the 3 seconds?
No.
Oh, you want to just guess?
Yes.
Oh, what is it?
Alone Again Naturally.
Alone Again Naturally.
That is correct.
That is correct. Wow. Look at that. Nick didn't even need the additional 3 seconds. Now, Dan Shagru, is there any way we can boost up the volume for Dan, our contestant? Because right now he's... Well, he's getting his butt handed to him.
Let's try to put him on hold so when he listens to the song that way, maybe it'll be a little bit louder.
Wow, that's going to...
Well, I picked it up real well on the radio. In fact, I would have won the first round. But that's sour grapes. I don't want to travel on sour grapes.
Let's not do that. Let's not put a taint on the whole affair, Dan. Let's not throw a wet blanket over the whole proceedings.
No, I'm very proud of Nick.
So am I. And Nick, I got to tell you, it's your turn again because you stole it. So let's see how you can keep going. And tell me, what's that song?
Son of a gun.
What's that song, Nick?
That would be Carly Simon's You're So Vain.
Well, now he's just stretching it out to build dramatic tension. Esmeralda, we haven't called on you because Nick has just been dominating, but would you like to give the score?
Yes, Nick has 4, Dan 0.
Dan has 0. All right, Dan, this is your turn, and I await your next excuse. I can't wait to hear it, but my question remains that your excuses may change. My question remains the same. What's that song?
Get down, get down. Get down, get down.
What is that song, Dan?
Could it be Get Down?
It could be. However, it's not. But it could be. That was a good guess. An educated guess, I would say. All right. Now, we come to Nick for the steal. Nick, you have 4. If you steal this, you will win. And everyone who is looking for you outside of the Witness Protection Program will know where you are. They will know that you have vanquished Dan in the Overnight Arcade. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right. Do you want the 3 seconds?
If I don't get it, then...
No. Then you're going to have something to complain about. Here's your 3 seconds. Fair's fair. Everybody gets their music. All right. What's that song, Nick?
Is it Jungle Boogie?
Is it Jungle Boogie? It is indeed Jungle Boogie. And with that, Esmeralda, give us a final score because I want to make it official.
Nick swept it. He's got 5, Dan 0.
Dan completely shut out. Could be a phone connection. Could be lack of musical knowledge. Could be that he took a nap during the game. I don't know. But Nick, congratulations on the big win and for evading prosecution by getting into the witness protection program. Dan, what has he won?
We're going to let you win a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Probably a good idea to order online. That way, if your phone is tapped,
right,
they won't hear your address.
And you go pick it up. Yeah. Don't have anybody deliver it.
You're too kind.
You're welcome. And listen, I like Dan. And I like the fact that Dan had some excuses that we could not verify one way or another. So I would feel bad if Dan went away empty-handed, other than the fact that he got 0 correct.
Let's give him a Lou Malnati's.
We're going to give him some Malnati's, too?
Let's give him a Lou Malnati's.
Everybody's eating pizza. That's fantastic. Congratulations, Nick, on your dominating win. That's what I'm going to call it, a dominating win.
I would not walk Dan into the witness protection.
It was fantastic. Both of you did a great job. I am glad that you were here to play the game. So hang on, gentlemen, and we will get Dan. We'll get all your information, but thank you for playing. And thank you, Esmeralda, for being our scorekeeper.
I know you were very smart.
You were very nervous about that, and I don't know why.
Because if you start throwing in more numbers, like maybe they get 2 points.
Oh, no, I don't.
And then one.
No,
and
it's
then
always
half
1 point.
Of one.
I don't get into that kind of craziness. It's a point of song. Nice and easy. That way I could do the math if I had to.
Oh, there you go.
I'm not being to do with fractions and algorithms and algebra. All right, let's do this, though, and then it'll be news time. It's Brian Noonan in for Nick D. Nick will be back Monday morning. I have had a blast sitting in for him this week. Thanks to Nick for allowing me to keep his chair warm, and for Dan, Esmeralda, and Vic for being a fun group to work with, as always. All right, Halloween's just a couple weeks away. I'm sure everybody here is ready. Yeah, we'll have costumes. What are you wearing for Halloween this year, Esmeralda? What are you going as?
I'm going to be Dora the Explorer.
Are you really?
Yes.
Oh, and who's going to be Swiper?
No one.
V's not going to be Swiper?
No, he's going to be Mr. Rogers.
Oh.
So we're doing children's television.
Really?
Theme.
That's creepy, but fun. No, I think that's great. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. My daughter used to watch Dora the Explorer all the time. Please, Swiper, no swiping. There's a little fox that pops up. Swiper is the one who's... Swiper, no swiping.
See, I was already grown.
Well,
Dora came out.
Well, you're lucky because you didn't have to then sit and watch Dora do all her exploring with her backpack on.
Exactly.
So that's a great costume. Yes. And Mr. Rogers is nice. I mean, all the cool millennials have cardigans anyway, so they can, you know, the costume was pretty easy. Now, will he change his shoes at some point during the party?
I did say that he has to come in and do the opening as he comes in and, like, sings the song and then changes his shoes and sweater.
Right. That you have to.
Yeah, he has to do that.
Now, have you done this in the past where you went as like a theme, the two of you went as a kind of couple's costume?
Well, this is our first Halloween.
Oh, is it really?
Together? Yes.
It seems like you guys have been together forever.
Well, we actually...
Which is not... No, I mean that as a couple.
Well, funny enough, we met the day before Halloween last year.
Oh, so this is the first one you're celebrating together.
Yes.
Very nice.
But in past relationships, I did have themes. One was... I was the damsel in distress.
Oh.
I was attached to cardboard train tracks.
Nice.
And then, yeah, I was tied up.
Now, was he Simon Legree or was he your hero?
No, he was the bad guy.
Of course.
Caped, top hat. Had a bomb, like one of those
the big
circular bombs. Yeah. And a big mustache. It was really good.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
See, I've never done the themed Halloween costume with either my wife or women in my past. I have to find something because I do like Halloween and I love having kids come to the house to go trick or treating and stuff. Plus, they're having a little thing here. So last year I came. Now Dan, you dress up because last year you brought the lovely Emily. I forget what your costume was, but it was a theme. Were you an engineer or something?
She was a pumpkin and I was a farmer.
That was it. I knew there was and that was very cute.
Thank you.
So what's she going to be this year? Another vegetable? So you can use your overalls again?
Well, we are not entirely sure, but right now she does have a flamingo costume.
Oh,
so
nice.
I will go as a Floridian.
Go as Don Johnson. Get a white linen suit and some espadrilles and a pink t-shirt.
No, wait, you got to put her then in the, who's the guy?
Who's on first?
Who's the two from the show?
Johnson, Sonny Crockett, and Ricardo Tubbs.
Yeah, so she should be Tubbs.
She should be Tubbs.
How adorable would that be?
That would be pretty awesome.
Right, but if she's I like her as a flamingo. That sounds like a great costume.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Floridian would be good, too.
Yeah, so like a Hawaiian shirt and like a straw hat and fake tan or something.
Nice.
Is what I'm thinking.
Oh, you should do sandals and socks.
Yeah.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah. Shorts that ride up really high. Make sure your straw hat game is strong, because you know I'll be critiquing.
Yeah, I have an authentic Puerto Rico straw hat.
So, do you really? Yes, oh,
from my mom's last trip to the homeland. So.
I like the sound of that there. All right. That's a great costume.
Thank you.
Last year, I just came as a lunatic.
Yes, you did.
Because I had on my kilt, and I had on a scary wig.
And then you came to the Halloween party.
And then I changed into my costume. Good morning. I can't do that again, because it was horrifying to the point where I sent Molly a picture of the makeup I did, and it was a bad kind of Joker smeared makeup and this crazy wig and my kilt and a evil jack-o'-lantern t-shirt. And Molly was like, "What are you?" I was like, "I don't know. I'm everybody's worst nightmare," which is fitting for when I come into this building. I'm everybody's worst nightmare. So now I have to come up with something good, and I don't know what to do. I only have a couple of weeks.
Frankenstein?
Maybe. That's always a good idea. Maybe I find something in España. Some Spanish costume.
Oh, you could be a bullfighter.
I could. Because they wear cool hats.
They do. They wear that little, it looks like a burrito.
Yeah, like a burrito or Mickey Mouse ears. Kind of the whole, it's all together. Maybe I just come as a burrito bowl. Maybe I come as that guy I talked about the other night with the sombrero with chips and dip. And I'm just an end table.
A party favor?
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm just a party favor. Or I come as a pinata and let everybody who wants to hit me with a stick. That line would be long. I think that's longer than the party is budgeted for, quite frankly. So we'll keep working. I did have this, though. Superheroes have dethroned princesses as the most popular Halloween costumes, according to the National Retail Federation. So princesses are done, finally. Superheroes are back. And not just sexy superheroes, but regular old superheroes as well. Maybe we'll talk about that a little later. But right now, it's very exciting because this is the time of Friday morning when we start getting into Nick's regular features. So, Dan, do you have an opening for me? No, you're busy doing something else. That's okay. You were trying to come up with your... Oh.
Here's the dummy. You big dummy. You big dummy. See what you did? Oh, no, you big dummy. You dummy!
Yes, sirree, it is time for You Big Dummy on the Nick DiGilio Show. Oh, there you are. All right. It's time for Dummy Number One. Dummy Number One, a man was bitten by a python after trying to take a selfie with the creature. I love when selfies turn stupid. It happened in the northwestern part of India. After Forest Department officials removed the snake from a school. Wow. They were holding the python and posing for pictures after successfully capturing it. The man then moved in closer for a selfie and was attacked by the snake, which lunged forward and bit him on the shoulder. The snake was taken away, and the man only suffered minor injuries, according to India Today.
Have you ever seen him act?
I've been watching him act all his life. Like a dummy.
Yeah, if you... And we see these all the time.
I mean, I didn't know you were interested in gardening.
Why not?
Well, up to now, the only thing you've grown is dumber and dumber.
Ha! There's stories all the time about people who try to take selfies with wild animals and then pay the ultimate price. This guy didn't pay the ultimate price, but he did pay a price. He is very dumb. But what are you going to do? All right, you know what that means. It's time for Dummy Number Two. Number Two. A man who flagged down a police officer was arrested when he accidentally showed the cop stolen credit cards. Oh, this sounds good already. According to an affidavit, a St. Petersburg police officer was stopped by a man who said he wanted to charge his cell phone so he could call an Uber. The alleged criminal sat on a bench and spoke with the officer, then pulled out several credit cards from his pocket and started going through them, according to the affidavit. The officer noticed that one of the cards had a picture of an African-American on it. The man in question is Caucasian. The alleged criminal said he didn't know how he got the card. He was arrested and is being held on a $150 bond. $150 bond? Really? That's it?
Well, the only reason I call you a dummy is because I call them as I see them.
Well, that's that. $150, that sounds like less than a parking ticket, $150.
My only child is a dummy.
Yeah, and he's sitting on a bench showing cops his credit cards. That seems weird. And what credit card has a picture of... Do any of your credit cards have pictures on them?
None of mine, but I have seen it before.
Really? Esmeralda, you got... She's,
I
you're
don't
not.
Have any, but yeah, I've seen it.
Where am I? Maybe nobody will extend me credit. That's why I don't know that that's a thing. I'm lucky mine has a chip, you know? I called to tell the credit card company that I was going to España, and there was a recording. Congratulations, you no longer have to tell us if you're leaving the country because chip technology, try it again, has made everything safer. So I tell my wife, oh, I didn't have to tell anybody because the recording came on. She didn't believe me as far as she could throw me. So, did you ask to talk to somebody in person? No, the recording said, congratulations, you don't have to tell anybody. Uh-huh. I said, okay. So then she went in to call on her own card. Same company. She calls on her card. I said, what'd they say? Oh, I got the recording. Did you ask for anybody? No, I got a recording. I said, yeah, I know you got the recording because I got it 3 minutes ago and you didn't believe me. Well, she was probably right. All right, let's do this. Then we will get back to you, big dummy, because that's what we do here on the Nick DiGilio Show on a Friday morning. All right, let's continue with you, big dummy, on the Nick D Show. It is time for dummy number three. Dummy number three. An Angry Birds backpack was the clue investigators say they needed after a robbery at a Deltona convenience store. During the robbery, which was captured on video and witnessed by a customer in the parking lot, two men with weapons approached the store clerk and demanded money, according to deputies. You know what I want, one man said to the clerk as he handed him a black backpack embroidered with an Angry Birds character. The clerk filled the backpack with money, cigarettes, and cigars, deputies said. That is what he wanted. How about some gum? Because you're going to have stank breath after all that smoking. A short time later, an officer noticed a man carrying a backpack exactly like the one used in a robbery. Oh, it was either that guy or a wayward first grader. The man admitted to being involved and was arrested, according to investigators.
Yeah, I'm worthless, penniless, broke, busted, and...
A dummy.
Busted and...
A dummy.
Yeah, busted and a dummy. Dummy number four... The New York County Sheriff's Office says a woman called 911 five times because the person she was staying with wouldn't allow her to use the Wi-Fi. That sounds reasonable. Let's go on and see if this was indeed justified. If you can't get on, how are you going to check your Facebook? Gotta get the Wi-Fi. According to the report, deputies responded Saturday after the suspect called 911 for a fifth time. You would think after three, maybe you get the message. But then again, I've never been denied Wi-Fi by somebody I've been staying with. The caller, 49-year-old woman from Houston, told deputies she had been in South Carolina for 3 weeks and wasn't allowed to use the home's Wi-Fi or phone because she ran up the bill calling people in Texas and Indiana. Why do you go to South Carolina to make long-distance calls? She admitted none of the 911 calls were emergencies. The woman was charged with unlawful use of 911.
And I can't wait to see you starring in your first movie.
Yeah.
Deep Dummy.
Deep Dummy. I forget not having watched Sanford and Son in a while, how little those insults make sense. But they're all funny.
I'm not kidding you. You're a big dummy.
Yeah, big dummy. All right, let's go to the final dummy. Dummy number... Oh, I always like a good renovation. Oh, and this this is right up my alley, Dan.
I did. I picked it just for you.
Thank you so much. Now, look at Esmeralda's interest has peaked. Why is Brian so excited? Is it about a man in a hat? No, this is not a Curious George dummy. This is a naked dummy. A man remodeling his home has been arrested for renovating while naked. And in truth, who has not done housework naked? Dust, vacuum... Rewire the electrical. Neighbors have called and complained about Rob Jenner, 42, because he would often do his work in nothing but a tool belt and work boots. Well, sure, because he works night at Chippendales, comes home, he's got things to do with the house. This doesn't sound too far out for me. After several complaints, Rob posted a sign reading, "A naturist is working on this property. Please do not take offense." Despite the notice, however, Jenner was eventually arrested after ignoring police requests to cover up. Yeah, you can't have all your tools hanging out. Some of them have to be covered. He also slapped with an antisocial behavior warning notice and made to pay an 80-pound fine. So this is from either Britain or he had to pay in meat. This is an English story, correct? He didn't have to go to the shed and get some pork loin. One woman said she was not offended by his behavior, and he was a very pleasant man. Hubba hubba. She said, "I've got a husband, sons, and grandchildren, so maybe that's why it doesn't shock me so much. Plus, he's not a bad-looking chap." He will appear in court to enter pleas on charges next Tuesday and again on Tuesday, the 25th of October. So his nudity is so nice, they're going to try him twice. All right, there you go. That's
you bigger dummy than my dummy.
That's what she said.
Dummy than my dummy.
Oh, what happened there? All right, so now it's time to recap with the vote. Is everybody ready? Dummy number one, the dummy who got bit trying to take a selfie with a python. Dummy number two, the dummy who flagged down a cop to charge his phone and showed him stolen credit cards. Dummy number three, the dummy who got caught because of his Angry Birds backpack. Dummy number four, the dummy who called 911 because she couldn't use the Wi-Fi. And finally, dummy number five, the dummy nudist who refused to cover up while working at home. We go to you, Esmeralda. What say you?
I like the nudist that doesn't want to cover up.
Naked dummy.
I just like because the woman's like, he's not bad to look at.
Not bad to look at. Well, listen.
Obviously, I could not post the link to the story on your Facebook page because
is it NSFW?
NSFW.
Yeah,
but
I'm looking for it right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it was on the Metro UK story.
Now, what kind of hammer was he swinging? Ball ping?
I can't
claw?
Speak to that. But
what are you? He's, sledge?
He's very fit.
Oh, is he?
Yes. Very handsome man.
Really?
Yes.
And how old was he again?
42.
42.
Doesn't look it.
No, oh, really? Wow, Dan, sounds like you have a little admiration for our naked dummy.
Because I can't do anything around the house, naked or otherwise.
Stud with a stud, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
All right. And is that who you're voting for?
You know, I normally he would take it, but the fact that the guy was showing credit cards and it had an African-American person on the card and knew he was Caucasian. So he will be my vote
for
the dummy who flagged down a cop to charge his phone and then showed him stolen credit cards.
One vote for dummy number two, one vote for dummy number five. Vic, what say you?
Naked Handyman.
Naked Handyman. That sounds like a Sammy Davis Jr. song. Who can take a rainbow? Naked Handyman. The Naked Handyman can.
Esmeralda's lighting that keyboard up looking for
this. Yeah, she can. Oh, she must have found it. The expression on Esmeralda's face was of shock, awe, desire, and hunger, all wrapped up into one unbelievable expression.
Will
Did you
v
find
be
it, Esmeralda?
Changing his Halloween costume?
Yeah. All of a sudden, V is the Naked British Handyman. You don't have to put on that cardigan anymore, honey. Good news. Bad news is, it might be cold that night, so we're going to have to figure out a shrinkage remedy.
He doesn't look 42.
I can't wait till tomorrow when our IT department looks at the logs and says, "Huh? Who was on the computer?"
Research.
Is it news?
Research.
Yeah. It is a news site, so I think she's okay.
It's show prep. Because you can just pull the tape and go, "It was Noonan's fault." He was talking about a nude guy in a tool belt whose level was a little bit off. All right, that's two for the for dummy number five. I'll be honest. I have to go with the python. Because if you're that stupid and you put your face near a python.
So the naked guy?
Well, whoa! Yes, it is, in fact, three votes for the naked guy. Very good, Dan.
Dummy! Dummy!
Yes, our favorite naked handyman is the dummy of the week. All right, Dan, what do we got? What are
you? Do you have me up on the board?
Are you supposed to play something? Hold on. Where are you? Yeah, I do have you up. I think. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, 'cause Ice Cube is I mean, it's your fault.
F-bomb. What a night! What's going on?
Out of context. Context. Context.
We put all our effort into the first four nights.
Contact. Brian, what's up? Tell him what you
you from?
Straight out of context, 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 context.
Esmeralda is still hypnotized by her computer screen.
I turned it off.
It's like, ooh, that's a ball peen hair. Ooh, those are pliers, aren't they? That's a nail puller. That looks like a cat's claw. I don't know what's going on over there. Is that a baby's arm? All right, Dad, we're straight out of context. Is that correct?
Yes. Karen and Tom heard this one of Bill Leff.
Sure they did.
It just turns blue down there.
Well, sure, if it's cold out, Bill.
Brian and Brad submitted this one of Dean Richards.
There's a cross-dressing 6'5 giant man. I'm there.
Hmm. I like what Dean lets us know what exactly is on the menu.
Tony sent in this one of Bill and Wendy.
They were too big for the spot I had.
You needed a precise size and style.
I could not go bigger than a 16-inch, 12-inch, 14, right. 16.
Well, there's about a lot of talk about Wendy being a size queen, so that doesn't surprise me.
We all heard this one of Steve Rzanich.
Well, if they boiled those balls every night, maybe.
Yep, I remember that. Steve was all about the. What were we talking about?
The
ball pit.
Yes, the place.
Drinking in a ball pit in Japan, where I'll be going on another vacation.
All right, one last one before we break. Esmeralda's favorite, Lou Manfredini's producer Lindsay, submitted by Brian.
Douse it. I mean, get it nice and wet.
Yummy.
Wow. Saturday mornings are just, it's a randy time. People are wiping the sleep out of their eyes. Lou's wiping the sleep out of his eyes or wherever else. It's fine listening. All right, let's do this. Then we'll have more on the other side. WGN. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck. Because Ice Cube is crazy as
F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping. But when I come back forward, I'm coming straight. Out of context, context, context. Context, context.
Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context, 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 context.
Yes, it is straight out of context on the Nick D Show. Brian Noonan in for Nick. Nick will be back with you Monday morning. He's been enjoying his vacation, and I've been enjoying his vacation as well because I got to be here with you. All right, Dan, we started straight out of context. We had, again, now granted, I don't do straight out of context. I'm not here all the time. But every time I have been here, Wendy Snyder seems to be a popular figure on there. Do you think she's saying things on purpose to get on straight out of context? Do you think she likes to expand her brand in that manner?
She is a big fan of the segment.
Right.
She has sent in other people on the segment.
Is that right?
Yes. So, right. But I think she will be given a run for her money this week by you.
Oh, that can't be true.
Well, we'll have to find out.
We'll have to find out.
But first...
Yes, but first.
But first, Wild Bill sent in these of Glenn Koslowski, Ed O'Bradovich, and Mark Carden.
He'll never go near the button.
Do you trust John Fox with the button?
Fox wouldn't know where the button is.
Those guys, I'm surprised that we don't just run their whole show in this segment. That entire program is out of context. Entertaining is all get out. And yet, very out of context.
Matthew heard this one of you.
Mm-mm. I just jam it all in there. It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
What's the context?
I think you were talking about getting a lot of ideas into a particular segment. We had several
Is that
topics
right?
going at once.
Okay. Yes. I'm glad you're paying attention.
Yes. So... Mark submitted these of you and Esmeralda.
Oh. You have a choice, Esmeralda.
This one looks bigger.
This one looks bigger. You want to do the bigger one? How many times have you said that, Esmeralda, when you're making a choice?
Many times.
I do remember that because Dan actually asked me if I was going to do that again, trying to decide on a segment. Are you just going to hold it up and let Esmeralda look at it?
We might hear that next week.
Wow, that would be fun.
Yeah. Harold gives us this one of Patty.
Whipping that French thing out.
Hmm. Was that from her, what's in the box?
Don't know.
Mm. It's French. Mm. Oui, oui.
Scott emailed this one of you.
And then maybe we go Facebook Live and I just... I'm an idiot. What does that even mean? I even out of context, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. These are all from me. See, that's the problem when you don't pay attention to what you say.
Right.
Things just come out.
Speaking of which, yeah. Wild Bill sent in this one of you.
Mm-hmm. And you can pick your meat, and you can pick your buns. I vaguely remember that. Why did you give me that look of disdain?
I did not. I'm trying to remember who sent in this one to Roger Badish because I didn't make my note correctly.
Uh-oh.
So, listener who sent this in to Roger Badish, we thank you.
Thank you.
I want to be the hand that comes out the little ball.
Ooh. You got to see a urologist if that's happening. There's a hand coming out. Ah! Unless you have a conjoined twin down there.
Brian sent in this one of you.
If we don't get deeper in, that means nothing. I'm speechless. I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to. I'm glad Wendy is the reigning queen of this segment. I don't want to take over.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Plus, I don't really pay attention to what I say, which is a problem. And now it's just being brought back to my attention that I really, who knows what's going on in my noggin.
Yep. Our winner this week may be this next one, though. Eric and morning show's producer Mike Jacobson and Bennett Wakenight sent this one in. It's a fellow morning show producer, Mary Sandberg.
Ooh.
I think if you put Vaseline all over your body, you'll be able to pull out quickly.
Wow. Mary.
What the hell?
I'm going to have to avert my eyes if I see her in the hall this morning. That's going to make me uncomfortable.
Newly married
and covered in Vaseline.
Congratulations, Pat.
Yes, congratulations to both and to Vaseline for the unintended shout-out. Everybody wins during this segment. Everybody wins.
Laura submitted this one of Wendy.
2 feet long with a tiny little ball at the end
right.
of it.
She makes it too easy. She just tees them right up.
And another one of her from Laura.
Forgot to turn myself on. You'd think by now I'd know how to do that.
You would. She'd been around a while.
Another one of you we all recognized at the very moment you said it.
Big giant ball of goo in my mouth. I know, Esmeralda, I look as disgusted as you do.
Wow.
Why did we say? I'm tired of asking when I said
tell,
that.
I couldn't even tell, what were you possibly talking about?
We were talking about gum. You like many dentine ices.
Oh, in my mouth?
Yes.
Oh, the chiclets.
Yeah, there we go. Yes. Wow, you guys have very good recall.
Spanish gum, by the way, chiclets.
Is that right? It's chewing gum, you say. You know, when I put gum in my mouth, wow, suddenly the whole week just unravels in the final hour. All the good work we've put into this point. Just because that's all they'll remember. Right. When the bosses listen, they're not going to listen to the whole week of fine broadcasts and insightful commentary and interesting guests and levity. They'll hear this few minutes and they'll go, man, that can't happen again. We're putting a kibosh on that.
Ken in Milwaukee emailed this one of Anna Levantes.
Ooh.
It's up.
She sounds surprised. What was that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Johnsburg AJ heard this one of you.
He's always looking for a little hand action. All right, don't laugh at your own stuff, Brian.
Don from Crystal Lake sent in this one of you.
Keep that poll going. Well, I'm glad I could help, Dan. And I was able to make the segment go. I know there's other personalities on this station.
Yeah, but unfortunately,
is there anybody that you never hear? Are there some people that you never get on here?
Let's see here. There's some rarities.
Justin.
Yeah, Justin's a rarity. We only get a Justin every once in a while. Okay. I think actually Mike Steven, which you got last week, was a first timer.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Frank Fontana.
We had that really funny one with Frank Fontana, though, a couple weeks ago.
Amy Guth.
Amy Guth is a rare one.
Wow.
Yeah.
These people got to amp up their out-of-context game.
I'm going through the weekend shows.
The Fisherman Show?
Yes, we have not.
Charlie
had
Potter? He doesn't get on here? Does it talk about mounting a deer or anything? There's never been any sort of taxidermy double entendre that you could get Charlie on? About putting his pole in the water?
I think we've got
everybody.
Luring
his muskie? Nothing?
I'm going through the weekend shows. I think we've had at least one from everybody.
All right.
So.
Bubala?
Bubala, not as often.
Dave Plyer?
You know, I don't know if we've had a Dave Plyer.
Dave's
there.
Too professional
He's
to say something.
Yeah.
What about Big Steve Cochran?
Oh, yeah.
You get him on there?
No,
okay.
Yeah, we do.
All right.
Yeah.
That whole group.
Oh, that whole group show. Randy.
Ever since Sandberg and Jacobson started.
Is that right?
It's, oh, man.
Okay.
Yeah. Then it tries to class it up. But other than that.
But Steve will go down in the gutter every once in a while?
Yeah.
Dave and Mary.
Dave.
Really?
Dave? Dave, again, doesn't happen often when it happens.
It's good.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
There was something about a buckthorn a couple months ago. Unbelievable.
Huh. What about Bertrand in the Business Hour?
Oh, yeah, Bertrand.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good. I'm glad everybody gets involved.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, now I'm done for about a year and a half.
Oh, actually, we got one more.
Oh, really?
And guess of who?
I hope it's Guth.
You and Laura Vaughn.
Oh. That was just yesterday. I like
remember.
The taste of it.
Oh, you like the taste of
it? I love the taste of it. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Could have been anything. See what happens when you're not here, Esmeralda? I'm tasting
mayhem
things.
Mayhem breaks loose.
All hell breaks loose. Because you're not here to monitor me. Or look at naked handymen.
I do that on my off time.
I know. That's what I understand that's where you were yesterday. All right.
Why don't we break? Is that the last one? That completes the Straight Outta Context for this week.
That is fantastic.
So why don't we take a break?
Why don't we?
We'll go with Fly Jams Friday.
Sure, because I have to work up some more stupid things to say so that you can play them back and make me feel even more dumb.
I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly jam. Fly Jams Friday.
This is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
Normally, your man, Nick D, will be here, but it is I, Brian Noonan, in for Nick D. He'll be back on Monday. Last week I was here on Friday as well, and it was Fly Jams Friday, and we had a good time. And I was told that everybody has a nickname. So that is well known to the people who are big fans of Fly Jams Friday. And so, Dan, you put it to people to try to come up with a nickname for me. Was that was what we were trying to do?
Right. So we have a list about 10, 12 here.
Oh, my goodness. That's too many.
I will reel them off, take mental notes as the ones you like. Esmeralda and I will do the same.
All right.
And then the three of us will collaborate and figure out which one is the best.
I don't think I should be voting on a nickname for
myself. We don't want to give you the just in case we choose one you don't like.
All right.
You have a veto.
Oh, I do have a veto.
You have a veto.
All right. I like that. That's fine.
All right. Here we go.
Yeah.
815, Croonin Noonan.
Okay.
309, Brian Midnight Noonan. 630, Boom Boom Noonan.
A boom, boom, boom.
872. So last week you made a joke. You were very sad because so many flies die during the segment. So he said, DJ Flying Brian, the crying man.
That's a mouthful. That's a moniker right there. Business card is going to have to be huge. Huge. Best business card I got it in China.
Tim from Plainfield, Screaming Jay Noonan. 815, Brian Old Schoolin' Noonan.
Okay.
708 has two. Toonin' Noonan. Or Noons the Loons, because you're crazy.
I understood where that was coming from. All right.
630. Yeah,
very apt. Very accurate.
Notorious Noons. 262, Slim Boomin' Newman.
Yeah, but my last name's not Newman. We'll have to throw that one out.
847, because you're always filling in perfectly for other people. Brian on the fly, Noonan.
Oh. That could be taken a number of ways.
There you go. Birdman suggested Fly Bry Sly Guy Slim.
I think he just ran out of words that rhyme with Bri and Guy.
Brian Groovin Noonan. 630, No Play Noonan. And then finally, Rick and Kenosha, B Slim Midnight.
I will say, very creative on all fronts. So kudos to all the listeners for all their suggestions.
Now, Esmeralda, do you have a favorite from that bunch?
I'm going to go with Boom Boom Noonan.
I like Boom Boom Noonan. Part of me likes Screaming Jay Noonan because of the Screaming Jay Hawkins
right.
tie-in. And then obviously you are a Jay. You are a jock.
Oh, yeah. I'm a boss jock
you are
from
a
back
boss
in the
jock.
Day.
So
boss jock.
So we'll let you choose between those two.
Wow. Boy. And I liked Midnight Noonan.
I like Midnight Noonan.
No, but that's I said I would go with you. If I'm going to go with Boom Boom. I'm going with Boom Boom.
Boom Boom Noonan.
Boom Boom Noonan.
So congratulations, 630 area code. We have your number. We will be in touch.
Yes, and thank you for the – and it's – I think you should still be a DJ Shagroovy. I like that.
You like that moniker.
I like that one better. And what were you – who were you again, Esmeralda? What is your name?
I am the Heart Melda.
Esmeralda the Heart Melda. Yes. I like that.
I melt hearts.
Of course you do. Or you meld them together to create one giant throbbing heart. All right, so are we starting this? Yes, we should, shouldn't we?
Sure.
All right, well, I guess. Now, we don't know. Oh, we're just give the area codes, correct?
Yep.
All right, so this one's from the 815. I don't know this song, I don't think.
I think if you heard it, you'd recognize it.
Well, I'm going to hear it momentarily when I hit this button.
Always knew that eventually we have to reach back there.
You were wrong.
Still whispering on the wind. I call on my dragonfly. Hold on. I call on my dragonfly.
So this is Dragonfly by Sorceress. And no, even hearing it, I have no idea. I've never heard that song before. Heart Melda, you know this one?
I do not.
See, Dad, nobody knows this song except the 815.
It's nice, though.
But it's a smooth jam. I'd get all freaky with it, turn on my lava lamps, pour a little Chablis.
Is that where the boom boom comes from?
Oh, the boom boom into room room. Boom, 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 let's go back to my room. That's my theme song. So we could do it all night and I'll make you feel right. That's how it goes. Because my boom boom game is, say it with me, strong. That's right. Esmeralda is never going to hear that again. Now she's freaking out because she's picturing it. You came up with, you gave me the moniker, Esmeralda. You christened me. And now you must live with your decision.
Great.
As I make it horrific and tawdry. From the 773, how about Groovin' Noonan? That was out of my control. It was a fine nickname, but we went with Boom Boom. Let's go to 630. Oh, speaking of Boom Boom, you cannot Boom Boom without a little Barry White. Can you? Oh, yeah. My swerve is on now. Yeah. That's when I pour a little Courvoisier for my lady. And a big snifter. We sit on the Davenport. In my leopard skin jammies. Play some Barry White. I don't have any of those things in my house, just so you know. I don't have leopard skin jammies. I don't have any Courvoisier. I don't have a lady. And I don't have a Davenport. I actually live in a box. With nothing. That's sad. Right, Barry White is always a jam, isn't he? Doesn't Barry White have like a permanent place on Fly Jams Friday? Isn't he an honorary, one of the Mount Rushmores of that?
We had constructed a Fly Jam City at one point. And I believe
that's right down the road from New Jack City,
right,
isn't it?
Right.
All right.
So, and
you don't want to take a wrong turn.
Right. I think Barry White was the Capitol building.
Of course he is.
Right. And Tower of Power.
Oh, yeah. I've been really trying, baby. That's how we do it.
Marvin Gaye had a dock.
No, of course he did.
Yeah.
I like a little Marvin Gaye, too, with my Barry White. Can Boom Boom talk up a song like a radio disc jockey? I'd love to hear it. That from Jason in Indiana. Perhaps we'll get one in. It's like instant requests here on Fly Jams Friday. Are we ready to go to the phones, Dan? Should we go to the phones? All right, let's start out with Fly Jam Bob. Hi, Fly Jam Bob. Welcome. There we go.
Hey, I think you should use your mandatory veto to make it Boom Boomin' Doonin'.
Boom Boomin'? Listen, I've already let them pass. The legislature has passed the nickname. It's carved in stone. Esmeralda.
No way we have an mandatory veto. You can modify it. Anyway.
I don't know. I like the Boom Boom. I like it.
Well, Boom Boomin'.
Yeah. Listen, anyway, Bob. You call me whatever you need to, Fly Jam Bob.
Yes, sir. Right. Last week, you promised me that you would be dropping me hints about your favorite Fly Jam, like Easter eggs, all throughout the week.
I thought about that today. I apologize. I neglected that.
Not even your favorite Fly Jam heard at Tony and Tina's wedding. I didn't even hear.
No, and you know what? I thought about that, and I forgot to do that. I feel bad about that. I did come up with Fly Jam that I really liked. I haven't even told Dan this because it's something that bonds me with my daughter. And so I will tell Dan during the news, and we will come out of the break with it. It's
anyway, I went to last week's podcast to see if I missed anything, and I heard you say, quote, "Itsy Bitsy Spider could not be a Fly Jam." My friend, you could not be more wrong.
Really?
And here's Richard Penniman to prove it to you.
Wow. Fly Jam Bob, I sit corrected.
That is
indeed an Itsy Bitsy Spider Fly Jam.
That is Little Richard.
Thank you very much.
Just for you.
I appreciate that. And you got me. Itsy Bitsy Spider can, in fact, be a Fly Jam. Thank you, Bob.
What's the song for your daughter?
You'll hear it when we come back from the news. There's the big tease.
I'll be listening.
I hope you will. Thank you, Bob. Bye.
You're welcome.
All right, let's do this. And then when we come back, it's news time on WGN. When I'm standing next to you, electricity starts to flow, and my indicator starts to glow. Yes, I am just a love machine, a hug-and-kissing thing. It's Brian Noonan in for Nick D. That frightened you even more, Esmeralda, than anything we've said so far this week.
Wait, is that the song?
That's the song. Because there was something, I don't know what, it was on some, when my daughter was really little, like toddler age, it was on some tape that we listened to or something. And so we would sing it, and she would always sing, "I'm a yub machine." Like when she was first starting to talk. So not, that always sticks in my head. So that's my thing. And then I was like, well, it's kind of a creepy song to have a toddler singing, but she didn't know what it meant. She knew she was a yub machine.
Right.
And my wife would come home and I would say, "What kind of machine are you?" "I'm a yub machine."
That's too cute.
Isn't it?
Then that's like food related.
Right.
Yum machine.
A yum machine. She's a yum machine. now I'm sure she would have. She'd kill me for telling that story.
Right.
Because, she's embarrassed by everything.
She'll never know.
My wife posted a picture of her from, a Throwback Thursday Halloween picture from middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Got a call from London telling her to take it down.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm like, and I said, "Did you?" "Yes." "But no, why? Why did you take it down?" But she took it down. A call from London.
What she should have done is put a filter on it, so then she wouldn't be able to see it, but everyone else could.
Oh, that's good thinking. I don't know if my wife's that tech savvy, but we'll see.
Did you hear about the kid that sued his parents because they put up social media pictures?
Yeah. At that point, you go, you know what, kid? You're cut off.
What happened?
Hopefully nothing.
Deliberation still?
Hopefully the judge, you know, headbutted him and went, get your head right? Get your head out of your dupa, child, because it's your parents. They raised you. They took this picture. And yes, if we all look back, I'm sure there's a million pictures of me that would embarrass me. I'd be mortified from
what
hairstyles
would that be?
To...
Slander?
No.
Libel?
No, it can't, because you're not lying about it. This is you. This is a picture. I'm your parent. Technically, I own you. You know, well, no, but you owe everything to me. You owe your very life to me. So if I want to publish a picture as your mother of a warm memory, I should be able to do that, you know,
true.
And not get a call from overseas.
Coincidentally,
yeah.
this teenager's in Australia.
Uh-oh.
Case is set to come to court in November.
Is that right?
And her lawyer, Michael Ramey, said he believes she has a good chance of winning.
And what is she trying to win?
The woman said she has repeatedly asked her parents to remove more than 500 pictures of her from Facebook, but they had refused. So she decided to take legal action as soon as she turned 18. I'm tired of not being taken seriously by my parents, she said.
I want to know who paid for that lawyer.
Yeah, really? Yeah. And what kind of lawyer takes that case? Kind of
one who wants to get paid?
I guess, but who's going to pay him?
The parents.
Her father told her that he had taken the photographs. He has the right to do with them as he pleased.
That's right.
Now she is suing her parents for infringing her right to privacy.
Well, here's the thing. If my daughter ever takes me to court, she unknowingly signed a waiver, a release form, back when she was in kindergarten. Now, the handwriting is a little weak, but I can have a handwriting expert come in and do the analysis. So I actually own, copyrighted, all the pictures we've taken of her for the last 20 years.
Wow.
That's right. I think ahead.
You very
Esmeralda,
much
I'm not messing around.
Goodness.
In this litigious society, I knew someday I foresaw the rise of social media. Unfortunately, I did not create the platform.
Right.
But I just knew there would be something.
Or, you know, buy stock.
Yeah. I was. My foresight ends at having my daughter sign release forms.
Right.
If nothing else falls into line. All right. Enough of that. And enough of spoiled children who don't want their parents to put pictures up, even though they tell heartwarming stories about bonding with them over a fly jam. Anyway, let's get back to this. Jasmine's been hanging on. Hi, Jasmine. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what is your fly jam today? What's Friday? What's going on at school today?
My resource class has a field trip to play beeper baseball.
That's a school thing?
For the resource room, yeah, for the VI kids.
Okay. And what is beeper baseball?
Well, it's like normal baseball, but the ball has a speaker in it that makes a sound, so blind people can play it.
Oh, okay. That sounds pretty cool.
So I played it back in grade school, and it's fun.
Nice. Now, is this an all-day field trip or just part of the day?
We're leaving at second period, and we should be back by like 1:30-ish.
Oh, so most of the day you get to be out.
So
that's fantastic.
I've been keeping up with regular baseball, too. And I've been rubbing the Cubs winning in my White Sox loving teacher's face.
Oh, wow. That seems harsh. That's, you know what? That spells disaster. It spells a failing grade if you keep mocking your teacher.
She's playful with it, though.
All right. Well, listen, what's your fly jam today?
Boogie Wonderland by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Hit it, Big D. You dance and she go ahead. Dance. Boogie the hot meld to busting a move in here, Jasmine. She's out of control.
Well, I did spin into the room.
Thanks, Jasmine. Enjoy beeper baseball.
I promised I'd give my teacher's friend Jared Walton in New York City a shout-out, so you're awesome for listening to this show.
All right. Thanks, Jasmine. Yes, we love everybody listening, whether they're from New York, where they can't make salsa, or anywhere else. Get a rope. That's what I say. Let's see. I'm just making sure that I have this. From the 773 Fly Jam Friday request, Expressway to Your Heart by the Soul Survivors. I was thinking about a shortcut I could take. I like this one. But it seems like I made a mistake. Well, I was wrong. Ooh, don't you know? I got caught in the rush hour.
Fellas started to shower. You were the love and affection. Now you won't look in my direction. I'll get wet, wet.
This should be your theme song, Esmeralda, every time we go to traffic. That would be fun. You need a music bed.
I do have themes.
Do you?
I do have theme songs that were written for me when I was on Rose Show.
Nice.
Yeah, someone wrote
me. Why don't you bring them out?
I don't own them.
You don't own them?
It's
Does Ro own them? Is he holding them hostage? I see Ro driving a hard bargain if you're yeah. trying to get your songs from him.
I have one.
Is that right?
At least one. It's an Elton John.
That's very nice that someone took the time to write a song about
you. Yeah,
or a theme song for you.
Skaggs wrote it for me.
Oh, Jason did. Yes. Okay. Listen.
Yeah, yeah.
Bring it out. I'd like to hear that. Or we're going to have to resort to playing Expressway.
Yeah.
To Your Heart every time you come on. Dan, can you make that happen? Dan's not even listening to the show tonight. He doesn't care. He's like, man, we'll be done 16 minutes. He's out of my hair for however long. No, I'm coming back, Dan. I'm going to just hang out. I'm just going to sit in with you. Nick's going to do his show, but I'm just going to sit in there with you. Frank has a request. He wants to hear Hanging on a String by the Loose Ends. I have Soul Town as one of my pre-selects on my radio, Sirius, the satellite radio. Mm-hmm. So every once in a while, I'll just be driving along. Bam, all of a sudden, I get some fly jams. Then
very
I crouch
nice.
Real low in my, you know,
oh,
I
wow.
do that lean.
Right.
Somebody almost killed me the other day. They were leaning so far over in their car. Honestly, I don't know how he was. Well, he obviously wasn't seeing over the dashboard very well because he came right into my lane. And I looked over, I saw his knuckles and a hat.
Maybe there's a they drilled a hole,
or they're using
they
a periscope.
Yeah,
it was so because I was like, dude, you are prone. That's not how you drive. You sit up a little bit. I don't know how people do it. I've tried every once in a while just to adopt the lean for maybe a block.
Right,
it scares me.
No, I have to sit.
Yeah.
Very straight up. Properly.
Do you get very close to the steering wheel too?
Yeah, I got to pull that seat up all the way. I got short legs.
Well, let's put blocks on your wheels.
Oh, there you go.
Like we used to have when we started to learn to ride bicycles. Do you ever have those, the blocks?
No.
Big, two like redwood blocks and then a giant black rubber band that held it on the pedals. So your pedals were now about this big.
Not seem safe.
Well, listen.
Not seem safe.
No, especially when you're riding a boy's bike right. and your foot slips right off that block.
Ooh.
And then, hello. Suddenly you're singing soprano. Mike Reed, our former Website Wednesday Night contributor. Remember Mike? Sure. Everybody remembers Website Wednesday Night. I tried to bring it back this Wednesday. Dan said, you don't know how to use a computer. I said, yeah, that's why we need Website Wednesday Night. Mike says, hey there, Fly Jam Friday. Here's my request. Kool & the Gang's new song, Sexy. Hope all is well.
It's like I never leave home without it. There ain't no doubt about it. I'm sure this news you already know.
Doesn't that sound like Uptown Funk?
Well, the Uptown Funk people took it from everybody.
Yeah.
Because
this does sound... Well, this is a new song from Kool & the Gang.
No, but
I know.
Uptown Funk.
I'm not saying Kool & the Gang lifted a little, but that bass line sounds very similar.
See, but I bet you the Bruno Mars lifted that Uptown Funk from Kool & the Gang.
Probably.
From... back, way back.
Bruno Mars, you know, all those guys sample. They don't lift it, they sample it.
Right.
They're just sampling it.
So Kool & the Gang can do whatever they want.
Right.
Like,
they're all, oh, sure. Kool & the Gang, it's like, yeah, we wrote that first. It came out 4 years after. It doesn't matter. We wrote
lifted
it.
My own song.
Oh, yeah, of course. They foresaw the rise of Sexy, and then, you know, they just put it out in the cosmos, and Bruno Mars picked it up. I love that song, Uptown Funk. Every time we hear it, my wife thinks Julio Get the Stretch is Julio Get the Stretcher. And she made the mistake of telling my daughter and I that. And so now every time that song comes on and we're all together, we'll just start singing. Julio, get the stretcher. Stop teasing me.
I mean, it could still work.
Sure.
Yeah, he's so tired.
Well, yeah.
Of all the funk.
Well, sure. He's hotter than a dragon. What is it? whatever that is. Hotter than... I sing along with it. I can't recall the lyrics. Ooh. All right. Is that it for Fly Jams Friday, Dan? Are we done? Do we have a Fly Jams closing theme?
We can try to sneak in Harold here.
Where's Harold? Oh, there he is. Sorry about that. Hi, Harold.
Oh, you can see me. Okay, great.
Yeah, I was starting to turn in my head.
How you doing, Brian?
I'm good.
Long time listen, no time call until now.
Well, sure. And then I almost ignored you. How horrible would that have been? You finally decide to call in, and then I blow you off.
Yeah, I would have called you at home. I didn't even have your number, but I would have found a way.
Yeah, it was true. Dan, call the authorities. Trace this call. I'm not comfortable with Harold anymore.
I'm not even there.
What's the song, Harold?
Listen, I'm gonna play a Halloween one for this week and the next few weeks. For Halloween.
Very nice.
Because I'm a Halloween nut. That's why.
All right.
So the song's called "Lon Chaney" by the Silver Screen. Spook show.
Back phantom all he played. More power, more money in the act of made. He finally spoke in the unholy three. He even scared people who couldn't see. A popular phrase back in the day. If they saw a spider, everyone would say, don't step on it, don't step on it, don't step on it. It might be Lon Chaney.
Wow. Harold, that is the way to wrap up Fly Jams Friday. Thank you so much. Don't step on it, Esmeralda. It may, in fact, be Lon Chaney. So there, wow. Thank you, Harold. Let's do, I know, Dan. We're going to do weather and traffic. Calm down. I was reveling. I was trying not to step on it. But you, of course, stepped right on it. That's fine. That's how we wrap things up. This is the Lon Chaney song again? We were trying to figure that out. Dan, maybe you can help us. Esmeralda and I were debating this. Lon Chaney was the Wolfman, correct? No classic monster guy turned into a spider, right?
Yeah, I want to say he did at one point. But
turn into a spider?
No.
Did he sit down beside her? No, that's Miss Muffet.
It's a spider theme today.
Is there?
Yeah, because the Itsy Bitsy Spider.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Fly Jam Bob will have my head if I forget about the Itsy Bitsy Spider Fly Jam. He's already mad at me because I didn't give the... I did think about it, though, that I had forgotten to give hints.
I was thinking when you said that, I was like, nope, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, he's not going to do it. Yeah, listen, I can barely remember what I said before we went to the weather.
But to answer your question, yes, Lon Chaney Jr. was the star of The Wolfman.
All right, so how does this song about don't step on him might be Lon Chaney?
I wonder if it has to do with the original Lon Chaney.
Is he reincarnated?
Are we reading too
spider?
Much into it?
Probably.
Are we putting analysis where it doesn't really belong?
Most
that the, there doesn't need to be that much thought into the... The Silver Screen Spooktacular or whatever the name of the band was.
It rhymed.
Lon Chaney. <That's>,
it rhymed.
It rhymed.
Because Bela Lugosi didn't fit.
Let's see here. He did star in a movie called Spider Baby.
Oh, maybe that.
Okay. Wow. In a dilapidated rural mansion, the last generation of the degenerate inbred Mary family lives with the
inherited... Hold on. Give me that sentence again.
The degenerate inbred Mary family lives with the inherited curse of a disease that causes them to mentally regress from the age of 10 or so on as they physically develop. The family chauffeur looks out for them and covers up their indiscretions. Trouble comes when greedy distant relatives and their lawyer.
Wait a minute. How are they an inbred family that has a chauffeur? what was the
money.
First adjective?
They're old money.
Old money, yeah, because they didn't have to spread it around to other people.
Trouble
they just kept it right in the family.
Trouble comes when the greedy distant relatives and their lawyer.
Lawyer's always the lawyer coming
who's the
in.
Villain in this film? arrive to dispose
not
the family.
Not the inbred spider people.
This seems very disturbing.
Yeah. What year was this?
1967.
Everybody was hammered.
All those older movies, 50s, 60s, horror stuff, or just drama. I'm like, oh my God, there's just some very graphic things going
on. Yeah, graphic and dark, and
very
just where you're like, all right, these scare me. Uptown Funk is a Mark Ronson song, not a Bruno Mars song.
Well, it's Mark Ronson
with
featuring
Bruno
Mars. Bruno Mars, but he sang it.
Yeah.
By the way, the subtitle of Spider Baby, The maddest story ever told.
It sounds like it.
How does Nick not do that as one of his movie clubs?
Because he wants people to come.
I no see that one. I'd come for. What was the description of the inbred family again?
degenerate
inbred family. I'm coming to see that.
With an inherited curse of a disease that causes them to mentally regress from the age of 10.
And then someone's hiding their indiscretions. That sounds
with the chauffeur.
Frightening.
I wonder if they're inbreeding in the back of the car
while
the chauffeur is driving.
Yikes.
That's horrible. Ugh. Almost as horrible as this. If you want to go to Ontario, Canada, Airbnb is a big thing. You ever done an Airbnb?
I have not.
I haven't done Airbnb, but I've done the VRBO, that vacation rental where you rent a house or an apartment.
Oh, fancy.
And it's worked out very nice. But here's one for you. You can rent a Taco Bell Airbnb. Yes, if you want to live in a Taco Bell for a night, the stay includes two bunk beds, a big screen TV, and a Taco Bell butler. Not as good as the inbred chauffeur,
right.
But pretty close.
I mean, they might have to hide your indiscretions, too, if you're eating all that Taco Bell.
I would be very indiscreet. The Taco Bell butler is devoted to fetching you as much fast food as you can eat. It's called a steakcation. So Taco Bell Canada will be providing as many of its new steak Steak Double Dias. That's a Canadian Taco Bell thing. Presumably, you can still get plain old tacos, too. Ample supply of video games and movies will be provided. They don't say if pot will be provided, but you just have to assume that that's going to be part of the...
Now, I'm curious. Do you settle in once they close?
Yes. It's a night stay inside the local Taco Bell. So
be weird.
The bed is like in the kitchen area, in the back, and
really?
And your butler goes and gets you. Well, not like right on the line. You're not sleeping in the meat.
Do they have ball pits in the Taco Bells?
I don't know. I've never been to Ontario, Canada's Taco Bell. I did see that there's a Taco Bell right near my hotel in España.
Oh.
I will not be going there. If I don't go to Taco Bell here.
Spanish Taco Bell.
Spanish Taco Bell.
You should go to see if it's any different.
Yeah, it has to be.
I wouldn't have any way to compare it. I don't eat Taco Bell here.
Yeah, but you know what Taco Bell is.
All right.
Yeah. Like, they have slight differences, I'm
sure. I'll go and see. It'll be like Pulp Fiction with the Royale with cheese.
I am demanding, as your final act before you go off the air here, that you text Esmeralda and I a picture of you in your strong hat.
My jaunty hat. Your jaunty eating hat, Taco Bell.
Eating Taco Bell in España.
All right, well, listen.
Yeah, I want to see that.
All right. I will do my best. I make no promises because I don't know. All right, let's take a quick break. Then we'll come back. Say goodbye. It's WGN. Well, brevity is the soul of wit. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being part of the program. Thank you, Dan, Esmeralda, Vic, for a wonderful week. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks, Nick, for letting me keep your chair warm. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, and we will talk to you soon.